Hello, everyone. And I had prepared something else to say today, but in light of all that's been going on, it wasn't the right thing to say. Maybe for another time, but not for today. Because today we need to talk about some things. We need to be honest with God, honest with ourselves, and we need to know that there is hope. And so when I have been thinking about what to say this morning, two words kept coming to mind, and those words were brokenness and hope. I just couldn't stop thinking about both of those words, brokenness and hope. And you see some of that in the song that we just sang, right? That God, he makes beautiful things out of dust. He makes beautiful things out of us. I believe that God makes beautiful things out of brokenness. And we have to start there. We have to understand, we have to admit, acknowledge that brokenness is here in our world and it's in our own lives. And I was just thinking of the brokenness that we live in. And I don't want to dwell here, but as I said, I think we have to be honest with what is going on in order to see the hope that God brings. And so we live in a broken world. With the passing of Tim's wife, Jody, we're reminded that things don't always turn out the way we want. We're reminded that loved ones pass away. We're reminded that others in the church here have had loved ones pass away this week. See, we live in a broken world when COVID-19, a virus, shuts down most of the world. And when some people lose their lives to it. See, we live in a broken world when people lose their jobs and they can't find a job. We live in a broken world where people are hungry. We live in a broken world where a man in Minneapolis, Minnesota, loses his life. See, we live in a broken world where peaceful protests turn into gunshots and cop cars on fire and businesses burning. We live in a broken world. We live in a world where there is despair and we have hopelessness and we have doubt and we feel that we're in darkness. We live in a broken world where all of our attempts to fix the brokenness don't fix anything at all. See, we live in a broken world. And it didn't just start this past weekend. It didn't start when COVID-19 hit. It didn't start with 2020. You see, we've been living in a broken world for a very long time, and it goes all the way back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. And God created two people. He created Adam and Eve, two people. And to Adam, God gave one simple word. God had created all of this stuff, and it was beautiful, and it was amazing. And God said to Adam, you can have all of this. You can eat from all the trees in this garden, the Garden of Eden that I made for you to live in. But Adam, just don't do one thing. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And with a little encouragement from the serpent, the devil, Adam and Eve ate from that tree. And it wasn't just the knowledge of good and evil that Adam and Eve began to experience. It was also the capacity to commit good and evil. And since the beginning, we've lived in a world that is broken. We lived in a world where, yes, there are many good things, but there are many evil things. And that's the world that we live in. We live in this broken place. You know, and it's in those times where I wonder, God, where are you? When we think about the brokenness, when we think about the evil and the wrong and the injustice, and when we think about death, in those times I wonder, I question God. I say, God, where are you? And if you're asking those questions too, that is okay. It is not wrong to ask those questions. In fact, if we look in the book of Psalms is a lot of songs, and in those songs, the authors, the writers, are asking God the same questions that you and I are asking today. Psalm 10, verse 1 says this, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" I want to read that again. "Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" And in these troubling times, it seems that God is not here. It seems that God is distant. It seems that God, if you are so powerful, why don't you just fix everything? And if you're asking those questions, it's okay, because there are people in the Bible, the writers of the Bible, who ask the same questions. I would love to give you an opportunity right now to comment on Facebook, because it's okay to have questions of God. And so right now, if you have a question for God, I encourage you to write it in the comments right now. I want you to be real. I want you to be honest with God. If you have a question and you want to ask him why, go ahead and ask him. But I also want to encourage you that as you see people's questions, let's not respond right now. Let's not try to answer people's questions. Can we just live in this moment right now where we know that there is trouble and brokenness in the world and that we have questions of God? So go ahead, put those comments in there. When the psalmist asks those questions, sometimes they get answers. Sometimes the answers are the ones that they were looking for. Sometimes those answers come at different times. Sometimes those answers don't come ever. And we're left with more questions. But I like how Psalm 130, verse 5, responds to those questions that we have of God. And it says this, "I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, I put my hope." I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word, I put my hope. Psalm 130, verse 5. In all of our questions, the psalmist concludes that the best thing to do is to put our hope and trust in God, and to wait for his word. And as I said, sometimes his word doesn't always come when we want it to come. Sometimes his word is not the word that we are looking for. And sometimes it feels as if God's word never comes to us ever. But I want to encourage you, because I do believe that God's word has come. I believe that we should put our hope in God's word. And what is God's word? And it's the scriptures for sure. It's the Bible. It's God's written word to us. I believe that is his word. But there's another word that I want to focus on. And we've talked about brokenness. And I want to move to hope. And that hope is God's word. And so I believe this. We're going to go through the book of John, not entirely, but we're going to go through chapters in the book of John and verses. And I need you to see what God's word is and who's God's word. And what it means for you and I when we have these questions, when we're living in this brokenness, in a broken world. And so what is God's word? In the first chapter, in John 1, verse 1, it tells us this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John chapter 1 tells us this, that God's word is his son, Jesus, who came from heaven. God's word is Jesus, and Jesus left heaven. He left heaven and came to earth to live as a human like you and I, so that he could experience the sorrow that you and I experience, the suffering that you and I experience, the brokenness that you and I experience. It means this. It means that God is not deaf to your prayers. It means that God is not blind to what's going on in the world. It means that God is not heartless. It means that God cares about you and where you're at. And God cares about this broken world. He cares about families who lose loved ones. And he cares about injustice. And he cares about protests. And he cares about all of that stuff. And he sent his word. He sent his son Jesus into the world so that you and I would know that God cares deeply. But that wasn't all that the word did. That wasn't all that Jesus did when he came to the earth just to hang out and experience what the world was like. And to maybe go visit the Grand Canyon or see some of these other marvelous creations. That's not why Jesus came to earth, to go and just explore and then go back to heaven and say, well, that was a fun trip. No, Jesus came to do something, to rescue us from brokenness and darkness. John 3:16 says that, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God sent his word. God gave us his word, Jesus, for a purpose. And that purpose was not to condemn the world. I need you to hear this. We have this understanding sometimes that God hates us. We have this understanding that God just wants to punish us, that God wants to humiliate us, that God wants nothing good for us. But as you see in John 3, verses 16 and 17, God did not send Jesus to punish you. God sent Jesus so he could punish him. God sent Jesus to take our punishment, so that we could live, so that we could be saved. See, when Jesus took that punishment, it was the brokenness of the world. It was all the things that Pastor Dave talked about. It was all the things that Pastor Matt prayed about. And it was those things that God laid upon his Son, his word to you and I, Jesus, so that we could be saved, so that we could find hope in the darkness, so that we could find hope in the brokenness, so that there could be light that we could run to, that we could cling to. And God did this through the cross, through the Roman cross, a method of punishment for criminals, for thieves, for rule breakers, for those who would commit evil. What God did is he gave his son Jesus to the cross so that he could hang from it for you and I, so that he could fix a broken world, but not just a broken world, so that he could fix broken people. In John 19, it says this, then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and they put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And then they slapped him in the face. And so the soldiers took charge of Jesus, and carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him with two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. And what God did is God sent Jesus to the cross. And there he died, between two thieves, between two broken people. God sent his son, Jesus, the only perfect person, to die for a broken world. And that is our hope. That is our hope, because we are broken. But our hope is that we have life in Jesus. But it had to be more than dying, because if Jesus just died, that would be the end of the story. You see, Jesus did something even greater. Jesus came back, and it says this in Luke 24, on the first day of the week, early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared, and they went to the tomb, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. He has risen." See, Jesus died on the cross. He took our punishment. He took our sins to the cross. He took the brokenness of the world. He took every injustice, every evil, every heartache, every sorrow that you could possibly have. And Jesus took all of that to the cross, and he died there. And then he was buried in a tomb. He was buried in a grave. But Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose to give you and I hope. He rose victoriously. And when Jesus rose from the dead, do you know what he left behind? The brokenness. He left behind death. He left behind every sorrow of the world, every injustice of the world. He left it all there in the grave. And he rose and he said, "I am victorious. And I want to give this gift to you." And so God, through his son Jesus, through the resurrection of Jesus, offers you and I hope for tomorrow. If you just want to put in the comments an amen right now, why don't you go ahead and do that? If you have an encouraging Bible verse and you want to write that, why don't you go ahead and do that? Because people need to know this truth. People need to be encouraged in these times that there is hope, even though the world is broken, and that hope is Jesus. And that hope is that Jesus rose from the dead, and he conquered sin and death, and he conquered brokenness, and he conquered it not just for the world, but for me too. If you're watching right now and you don't have hope in Jesus, I want to offer you that chance right now. So if you don't have hope in Jesus, it's very simple. You need to admit that you're a broken person. You need to admit that you're a sinner. I think it's very easy to point fingers at the rest of the world and say, "Well, that's wrong, and that's wrong, and that person's not right, and that person's not right." It's very easy to do that. But what Jesus wants us to do first, in order to experience hope, what we need to do first is to look at our own hearts and admit that we are broken and we have sinned. And that sin causes us to be separate from God, from that hope that comes in Jesus Christ. But right now, for those of you who are watching who don't have faith in Jesus, if you admit that you are broken and that Christ died on the cross for you and rose again so that you could have forgiveness of sins, if you believe that right now, if you trust in Jesus, you have forgiveness in this moment. And if you're doing that right now, I just want to say, praise God. Praise God that you are going to experience life in a new way, not just here on earth, but there will be life after death for you. If right now you're watching and you've just put your faith in Jesus for the first time, will you let us know in the comments? We want to celebrate with you. We want to follow up with you. We want to have conversations with you about what it means to now follow Jesus, to have hope in Jesus. And I want to leave you with this as I close. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus rose again. And we have victory in Jesus. I want to leave you with just one thought. John 16:33, Jesus tells us these words. He says, "In this world you will have trouble." And that's true. But he also says, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world." And today our hope is Jesus. We live in a troubling world. We live in a broken world. We are broken people. But know this, that Jesus has overcome the world. And he is our hope in a broken place. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much that you sent Jesus to the earth to live, to die, and to rise from the grave so that we could have life. And God, I pray for all those watching that they would put their faith in Jesus if they have not. If they're in a dark place right now, if they are hopeless, if they are fearful, if they are angry, if they are broken, God, that they would put their faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, right now. I echo the prayers that went before for the world, for those who have lost loved ones, for our political climate, for the tensions that are running high in the cities and all around. God, we pray that in all things that a broken world would discover your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in your name. Amen.